Hello, welcome to 5 Minutes to Midnight. My name is Mohammed Eldefani, and our guest in this episode is Libyan writer and former diplomat Jomah Boukleib, who will be talking about the prevailing chaos in Libya, where two unelected governments are vying for power. But first, I will set out the broader context, recalling how we have reached this point in Libya's very sad and chaotic recent history. Few people expected Libya to transform itself smoothly into a democratic and law-governed state following the NATO-assisted ouster of the regime of Muammar Gaddafi in 2011. However, 10 years on, Libya is in turmoil, once again with two governments, one led by Abdelhamid al-Dubeiba, based in the capital Tripoli, corrupt, incompetent, and backed by Turkey, Britain, and the United States, while the other, now operating from the central town of Sirte, is led by Fethi Bashagha, a highly controversial figure. According to Wolfgang Putztai, a former Austrian diplomat based in Libya, al-Dubeiba is alleged to be involved in, quote, corruption, money laundering, financing of the Muslim Brotherhood, and vote buying, unquote. Bashagha, on the other hand, has been described by journalist Fahim Tastikin as, quote, the Muslim Brotherhood's man, unquote, in the former government of National Accord, where he served as interior minister and as having, quote, strong bonds with the government of Turkey. In May this year, Bashagha wrote an opinion piece for the London Times in which he called for a strategic partnership between Britain and Libya based on business, security, and intelligence, and declaring his aspiration to join the UK in, quote, resisting Russia in Africa, unquote. He's also responsible for at least one mass murder, ordering his militia in November 2013 to open fire on unarmed protesters in Tripoli, killing dozens and wounding at least 450. Hopes that Libya would at last embark on a path to stability were dashed at the end of 2021, when presidential elections were postponed the day before they were scheduled to be held, reportedly under pressure from the United States and Britain, who objected to Gaddafi's son Saif al-Islam being one of the candidates. So where to now for Libya? A return to peace and stability seems somewhat fanciful, with militias, Turkish-sponsored mercenaries, and crime syndicates blighting the country. Will Libya remain united? The prospect of division between the East, Barqa or Cyrenaica, and the West, Tripolitania, haunts many Libyans, but is welcomed by others, especially in the East. With us to offer his insight on Libya's plight is Libyan diplomat and writer Jomah Boukleib. Welcome, Jomah, and let's hear what you have to say about Libya.
To leave a legacy is the dream of all politicians. Chaos is the legacy of Khan and Muammar Gaddafi of Libya. During 42 years in power, he seeded chaos, and we Libyans harvested chaos. The chaos, politically, economically, and socially, we are living today. We are living today, after nearly 12 years from his disappearance from the Libyan scene, deprived Libya from achieving the most sought after stability and prosperity. During Gaddafi's era, I used to jokingly say to my friends, whenever Libya's name appears in the news, it's certainly going to be bad news. After the fall of Gaddafi's regime, things change. The good news for a short period of time prevailed. But soon things returned to the bad old days. The bad news spreading out from Libya regularly made us believe our country is cursed. Does that make me lack objectivity and more inclined to be pessimistic? Maybe. But definitely, I'm not alone on the boat. As long as the bad news is still associated with Libya in the international media, Libyans from different walks of life seem to lose hope in their country and its ability to come out of the current crisis safe and sound. The future stability of Libya, as a matter of fact, is a constant worry to those who care about the country. Those of you who happen to know Libya will be aware of its geographical importance, being the gateway to two continents, Africa to the south and Europe to the north. It also links the western part of the Arab world with its eastern wing. You will also be aware that Libya sleeps on huge reservoirs of oil and gas. Its great geographic location plus its natural wealth makes Libya a target for foreign nations. As a Libyan writer who happened to have lived in the UK for more than three decades, I believe the troubles that Libya witnesses since February 2011 are the result of many unfortunate reasons. Chief among them is the sudden political change that took everyone by surprise. Although Libyans during Colonel Gaddafi's era prayed for change, when their prayers were answered and change was realized, they panicked and couldn't do anything to grab the opportunities given to them. Change works only if you are prepared for it and provided all the necessary facilities that help it to settle down gradually and flourish are available. When Colonel Gaddafi was forced out of the political Libyan scene in October 2011, there were no political parties, no political institutions, no free media, no culture venues. Political vacuum mixed with chaos and spread to all aspects of life was the dominant factor in the political scene that Libyan inherited. It led to the emergence of a new opportunistic political elites lacking the necessary qualification and tools helped by militias. The political chaos and conflicts that followed opened the doors wide in front of foreign interference by Arab, regional, and European states. The Libyan scene turned into a battleground for competing local and foreign interests, intent to inflict painful damage on Libya's future stability. The political vacuum plus the armed conflicts also paved the way for Islamist terrorist groups to carry a shelter in the open vast desert. Their bases in Libyan desert became the launch pad for their attacks on neighboring countries in the Sahel. The situation is getting darker and more crowded with tribal, regional, and personal interests competing for domination and influence. Democracy is out of their equation. Their main target is to control the scene politically and pocketing oil revenues. The way out of the crisis is also complicated. In my personal opinion, the main are foreign powers that refuse to give up what they have already grabbed and achieved politically and economically. Second are the leaders of the militias. They are fighting proxy wars and strongly linked to their foreign masters who provide for them with the necessary political umbrella and supply them with money, weapons, and ammunition. Libya's march to achieve democracy will be longer and harder than what we expected. Like the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic, it can be eliminated only with the cooperation of world states and governments. The same can be said about the Libyan dilemma. the way out is not impossible if the international community paid Libya the necessary attention and provided the desperately needed help by forcing the competing foreign interests to withdraw and by disarming the militias.
Thank you very much for this realistic but very depressing account of the situation in Libya and the situation that Libyans have been suffering after suffering in the previous during the previous regime's rule as well. Just a few questions. Do you think that had the presidential elections taken place in December, that matters would have improved, or do you think that we would have continued with the same divisions, with people claiming that different candidates that they had won, not recognizing the election outcome, etc., etc.?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't see a chance for any elections to be held in Libya in the near future, because the whole parties or fighting parties, refusing to have it, having elections in Libya means they are out of the scene. Yeah. And they don't want to leave the scene. You see, they're stuck there, they have their interests there, and to agree on having elections means that they are issuing, they're sentencing themselves to be out of the scene. This is what I see.
Yeah, that sounds very true. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, which I'm sure you've read repeatedly, is, and that is the prospect of division between East and West, between Barka, Cyrenaica, and Tripolitania. Now, for many Libyans, myself included, that would be a very depressing outcome of the turmoil that we're being through. How realistic is this, do you think? Do you think there is a prospect for division?
I think we are in a situation, we are in an open situation where all possibilities are available. You don't know which way things develop, which way things go, either now or in the future. Practically, the country now is divided. I mean, you have the government of Mr. Dbeibah is in Tripoli and outskirts of Tripoli. Outside of that, they don't have any influence outside of it. And in Barka, still General Haftar and his people ruling there. The country is practically divided now, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My final question is about the militias. A year or so after the ouster of Gaddafi, there were a lot of accounts saying there could be as many as 17,000 different militias. Their number is probably now reduced to a few powerful ones, some based in Misrata, some based elsewhere in the country. Who is in a position to disarm these? Some are backed by Turkey, some are backed by Turkey and Qatar, and some backed by God knows who. Italy also is backing some parties in Misrata. Who is in a position to actually disarm these militias? I'm assuming that disarming them will have to involve some amount of force, since they're not going to give up their power voluntarily. What do you think?
As I said in my piece, I read now, it's like the COVID-19. If the international community doesn't come together and work together to sort that the problem of COVID and spread the cure to the other poor countries and help them to come out of it, the COVID will continue spreading. I mean, we will never get rid of it. But the international community has to work together. The same applies to Libya. For Libya to come out of its hole, everyone has to work that. We need international pressure. I mean, all these big powers to work together and to come together in one, and they push, or what I say, I mean, and they make this militia leaders believe and see that they have no chance, and their backs to the wall. Either they have to disarm and stop the what they're doing, or they're gonna be, or they're gonna face the music. This is the only way.
Yeah.
Now the militia now they really rule the country. I mean, they milking any government that comes in Tripoli. They milking the money. They making the money. They making everything, and they buying arms. They recruiting more young people. That's I mean, if we need the international community come together. And they force them, they put them, their backs to the wall, and they have one. Either you disarm, or you face the music, and that's it.
Yeah, personally, I can't see the international community doing that unless the situation in Libya poses a sufficient threat to the to Southern Europe and other international powers. That they are forced to act.
It's already posing a threat to Southern Europe and also to the in the south, to the Sahel, countries, neighboring country in the Sahel. It's not just drugs. It's not just human trafficking. It's also the Islamist terrorists. They are back now in the desert.
Big time. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that was very interesting and very depressing. Unfortunately, this is our situation. That was Jomaa Boukleib, former Libyan diplomat and writer, talking to me, Mohammed Al-Dufani, on 5 minutes to midnight. Thank you very much, Jomaa, and best of luck.
Thank you for having me.